we have another in our Under 500 series now, where we visit communities with fewer than 500 people to talk to some of the locals about the place they call home. Today we're in Southland, visiting Nightcaps in the foothills of the Takatimu Mountains, almost an hour's drive northwest of Invercargill.
Supposedly when first people came here, they camped for the night, and when they woke up in the morning, they had a look at the Takatimu Mountains, and they said, oh look, they've got their nightcaps on, because they were covered in... That is the local myth. Whether it's true, not true, who knows?
Nightcaps is a town built on coal. Māori knew of coal outcrops in the district, and in 1880, the Nightcaps Coal Company began exploratory work. Miners and those supporting the industry arrived, and the town was born. In 1970, 737 people lived in Nightcaps. Now it's less than half of that. When my grandfather walked more than 11 kilometres each way to Nightcaps School in 1910, up to 300 children attended. Today, 5 buses bring most of the 81 children on the roll.
So the beginning of the day and the end of the day is full on, as we check everyone as they come in and out.
The school is now known as Takatimu Primary School, and Heather Boniface is the principal.
Look at that, in a T-shirt, and there's snow in the hills.
They are very resilient. Real country kids. So, for example, I think you'll appreciate this. On Friday, there's been a request for our annual camo day. So the house groups have organised a day around duck shooting, complete with duck calling. So, very much a student voice and student led with the ideas. So there's always something happening.
How cold does it get here in winter?
The school is, you know, can be closed due to snow, and we can get down to -4. Yeah, we're a resilient bunch, though. We're up for it.
And there's a tractor going down the street?
Yes, tractors regularly going past. We've had a pony drop by to drop off a notice. Our annual pet day is a fabulous event. Very much a rural school.
What comes to pet day?
Ooh. More like what doesn't come. Ponies, we've had rats, we have had cats, all types of farm animals. Fabulous day, indoor crafts and exhibits, bean growing competitions.
Beans?
Beans, yes. Very much a community event.
Kyle is dropping off his daughter. There's no longer a school in his town 7 kilometres away.
I live in Ojai, and I bring my daughter over every day.
Ojai. Why did you move to Ojai?
I was just sick and tired of the rat race up in Auckland. I just had enough. And then a year later, I told my dad about it, and he said, well, sounds great, and he moved down. We bought a house up at Ojai.
What's the community like?
Awesome, absolutely awesome. The whole of the South Island is great.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, what did you pay for your house?
My father paid $90,000 for it. It's an old shop which has been converted into a kindergarten, and then it was converted into a house. Turned 100 last year.
Has it got insulation and good heating?
It does have a really good fireplace. That's what I'm paying a lot of money for, is firewood at the moment. But no, it's a beautiful area to live in.
Shirley Dobby works in the school office. She's a local through and through. Shirley was born in Nightcaps.
The thing now is more the fact that there's not a lot of what I call local, like young parents with young kids. It's now we're more reliant on dairy farmers. Like when my kids were here, there was so many kids that used to play what we called in the middle, which was near the fire brigade, kicking balls and stuff, whereas now you could probably count the amount of kids that live in Ojai Nightcaps on your hands. And yes, so now it's mostly dairy farmers.
What do you like about the place?
I just love living here. It's in the country. Can't be bothered with town stuff, the hustle and bustle. I mean, yes, I have to travel in there every now and again, but I just love the country, just the space and the people. You get to know the people, and people look out for people. People who are sick, the elderly, people will check on them. through COVID as well, it was just amazing with our fire brigade. Ohi nightcaps, they were going round, they had set up through the community worker like these forms, a pink form that you could put up, just a piece of paper if you needed someone to talk to. You left up a green one if everything was okay.
And just they put it in your window?
Yeah, and they just drove past every day. They had rosters.
And if you put up a pink form, what would
they
happen?
Came and they just sort of knocked on the door but stood back, and because I did ask someone that. And they said that they did have a wee few, not many, like really, but just probably maybe lonely or needed something. So they would just stand back and sort of talk to them for a bit. Or if they needed to take them, say, to a doctor or something, then they would. The Ohi Nightcaps Fire Brigade were amazing. That's what you love about a small community. People care about each other.
What's happening in the school today?
Oh, okay, all go Shay. Wednesdays we have tamariki coming over from St. Patrick's, our neighbouring school for tech. So our tech teacher, they are busy making charcuterie boards today. Last term was a healthy eating focus, so I sampled an awful lot of muesli bars until we got to a really good prototype, we thought. At present, there are a lot of things happening in the school. We're about to have a new tech block, which is super fantastic. So we envisage that will be used by our community. We really see this as a community school.
How many classrooms do you have?
Okay, now that's a really, really interesting point. It's a very, very large school and grounds because it was an area school.
So you've got room for growth?
Absolutely. Everyone welcome.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
To get to the garage, what do I do?
Well, you're not going to get lost. If you turn right, go straight ahead, and you'll see the garage right there on the corner.
I've arranged to meet retired miner Bruce Allen. He spent his working life at the Linton Mine at Ohi, just down the road. Hello.
Good morning.
Bruce.
That's right.
Carol Stiles.
My nickname's Carter.
Oh, Carter. People yeah. call you Carter.
Well, that was always the thing in this whole district here with underground mining, you see.
Yeah?
Everybody had a nickname because, you know, when I was started at the mine, there was 400 there, underground, in the dark, and everybody just had a light on. It was no use singing out, Hello, John, because there were six Johns within Cooey and all had lights on. So if you rung out, my best friend was called Tussock. So when yelled out Tussock, you seen a light out of five or six. You seen this one light flick around, you knew he was there.
Who gave you the name Carter?
Oh, a good friend of mine, Walter Goldsmith, I think it came back. He used to play halfback for a rugby team.
And he just decided that you would be Carter?
He was called Goldfinger.
How old were you when you went down the mine?
16. I was actually 4 days off 16. You weren't allowed down underground till you were 16, but we were short of labour in those days. We had 41 years underground.
Can you remember your first day?
I can clearly. Excited and a bit frightened.
Oh, I bet.
To get on, you know, used to get a ride down at Linton Mine. There probably would have been 100 men on the trolleys. Used to get a ride down on a wire rope. Used to lower us down on these trolleys down there, a mile and a quarter to the bottom, and I happened to be right at the bottom.
So there's still a mine here at Nightcaps?
That's just where that truck turned the corner there. Just go up there about a kilometre and a half past the old nursing home where I was born, and that's the open cast mine, Nightcaps here. Just up here, a mile, there was underground here, and it went behind us over, just behind us over here on the flat over here, there was underground mines. A couple of bad underground accidents, deaths involved, a couple of explosions, but I think that's in every mining community just about in New Zealand. You know, there's been accidents, but...
When was that?
Oh, I think, I'm just guessing, I'd say it would have been around the 1920s.
When did the underground mine close in Nightcaps?
Approximately, I'd say 1940.
So the hotel is still open here?
It's still open certain days of the week, I think it's open, and bistro and gaming and that. Well, I mean, I can remember in the early days, going in that hotel, and Campbell Mason was proprietor. I remember being there one afternoon, and he and the fire siren rang, and he was on the fire brigade. And he just jumped out over the bar and out, and he said, "Help yourselves, I'll be back when the fire, we find out what's wrong," he says. But that was the loyalty and faith he had in the community here, and that's what the community was like. Unreal. I think around the 70s, I was president of the rugby club here, and we had seven or eight played for Southland out of that local team, and I can remember them, the Cargwans used to come out here pretty cocky sometimes, and just up the road here is the football paddock, and they brought their flash teams out, the Blues from Invercargill and that, and this team here, on a lot of occasions, could knock them over by 50 points. But the crowds who were here, you know, there'd be 3,000, 4,000 people here on a Saturday afternoon to watch a Blues game like that.
I saw a for sale sign on a house just down the road. How much do you have to pay for a house and nightcaps?
Oh, well, they've increased dramatically. Like, not so long ago, they sold houses here and nightcaps for $1. A good house here now could hit $200,000, $250,000, but the wooden bungalow houses here still getting, they've raised up now $60,000 to $80,000, but you've got to travel to find a job, that's all.
Well, how did a house sell for $1? What happened?
Oh, I think people just got scared of coming here. There was houses empty here with the redundancies. There was houses here, just people just walked out of the house, just offered a job somewhere and just walked away, couldn't sell it.
That was people being made redundant from the mine?
Mainly that reason, yes. Without jobs here, we're gone, you know. Nightcaps was closed for years. They've only just recently started open cast again.
How long ago?
Been open for 20 years now, I suppose.
I was told no visit to Nightcaps would be complete without meeting community stalwart Bev Evans.
Yeah, just down past that, where that white car's pulling in there, see the brake light on her? That's where Bev is there.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Hello, how are you? Good. I've got my boots on. Are you sure they're clean? Oh, it's nice and warm in here. Look at the snow this morning.
That's just natural for here. I love it when it's there, but I just, you know, can stay there, that's fine.
Do you get much snow down here sometimes?
Not especially. We probably get one good fall at least a year.
Yeah.
Which takes all the bugs away.
How long have you been in Nightcaps?
All my life. The whole 30 years. 77 years.
You would have seen a lot of changes?
Yes. Not always good. Yeah. But happy to say in the last 3 or 4 years, we have people coming into the town, picking up cheaper houses and doing them up beautifully. And I feel Nightcaps is now on its way up again.
What do those people who come to town do for jobs?
I would say the greater percentage are retired, and most of them are Aucklanders. So we do have something in Southland. We have really good, substantial homes that can be done up, you know. And they're bought cheaply, they're done up beautifully, and they retire happily.
Well, you have a beautiful view and a lovely section, don't you? You've got the Takatimu Range as a backdrop.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky.
And a garden. What grows here? What veggies grow here?
Oh, all veggies. Carrots, parsnips, beetroot, onions. Everything grows here. Yeah. Potatoes especially. You don't have to buy. We grow enough to bag them for the whole year.
You've been involved in the community. What sort of things have you done over the years? Go on.
Well, I probably started off about 15 in the basketball club it was then, not netball, and I was secretary treasurer of that. Then I moved on to play centre when my children were born. I was a member of the golf club for 40 years and went through all the positions in the golf club. I've been in victim support. I've been a volunteer ambulance officer, chair of the local medical board up here, and for the last 27 years I've been involved in local government.
What else should I know about Nightcaps?
I think we do well for a small town. We've got a good rugby club, good squash club, we've still got a golf club and a bowling club. It's a lovely place to live in. It's peaceful, it's friendly, and from my own personal experience in the last few months, people are immensely kind and helpful.
Linda. Hello. I'm Carol. I'm in the Foursquare, Nightcaps Foursquare.
Yes, you are, yep.
And you're Nightcaps born and bred?
Yes, I am, yep. I live right here in the back of the shop, me and my husband, and we have a house at Riverton that we travel to on the weekends just for a getaway.
You're a Foursquare, but you also have, what, sandwiches and coffee?
Yep, we make our own sandwiches.
Your takeaways?
We're takeaways.
You've got bluff oysters.
We have got bluff oysters. We're very lucky to have bluff oysters, actually, at the moment. Yeah, weather's been bad.
Now, who shops here?
Okay, so we have, obviously, all of our locals, which are very good to us. We have the transport company around the road. They've got 35 trucks, so they're our locals as well. We have the coal mines in their breaks. We have Nightcaps Contracting, Very Hungry Boys. We have all dairy farmers on the outskirts of us, and we have sheep farmers. We have the truck drivers coming to and fro the coal mines, Ojai and Nightcaps. And basically, we've had lots of tourists since COVID, so lots of camper vans calling in. And also the Heritage Trail, we have lots of walkers come off that and do their shopping for their overnight stay at Birchwood Station. And yeah, so it's, yeah, we're very busy actually.
What's the Nightcaps community like?
Friendly, like we have lots of volunteers. We've got the Fire Brigade, we have the Rugby Club who help all the youngies out trying to get them into rugby games and, you know, into wee teams, all the wee ripper rugbies and just trying to keep the community together.
There's a little medical centre here.
Yes, so we have a medical centre that runs 2 half-days a week, and the nurse is there 3 days a week. I'm on the board myself of trustees, so it's all, yeah, so we're all volunteers. Keeps us very busy.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Very good, and the sun's coming out.
It is. It's going to be a lovely day.
It's
still quite cold. Yeah, but sun's out, that's always good.
Nightcaps Contracting has its depot around the corner. Its owner, Tony Philpott, says there's plenty of work on.
Very, very busy. We do agricultural work, civil work, roading, forestry roading, work for Environment Southland, coal mining and farming. Nightcaps is a coal mining town, so I know everyone's against coal mining at the moment, but we love it.
Are farms being developed around the place, or is it just maintenance work mainly on farms?
Just maintenance work now. It's just too hard for farmers to get consents in that nowadays, so they just tend to go, oh, bugger it, I'll spend the money on something else.
Why are you based in Nightcaps?
Why am I based in Nightcaps? Nightcaps is a great place to live. It's a very small town. I think there's only 300 to 500 of us. 300, I think, 350. What a lot of people wouldn't know is there's over 120 people start work in Nightcaps every morning. That's one interesting fact of Nightcaps.
What do they do?
Well, they work for us. They work for the local transport services. They've got a huge staff. They're doing very well. And they work for the Nightcaps mine. Those three companies would be the main employer, but there's over 120 staff turn up to work every morning. So it's not bad for a wee town, is it? In saying that, it's very hard to get staff out to Nightcaps because it's a small town, but they just don't realise all the positives that it's got.
You're also involved in the Fire Brigade?
Yes, yep. 27 years I've done in that, in the Fire Brigade. Yep, made it up to the chief now, so been the chief for the last year. And
do you get many call-outs?
Not as many as we used to get. Smoke alarms have made a huge difference to us. Cut our work down, that's for sure.
Car accidents?
Car accidents, yes, a lot of car accidents, yep. You never get used to them.
I've been told that the Fire Brigade did some really good work during COVID.
Yes, we did. Well, we were worried about the community and a lot of people just wanted someone to talk to. So each morning and night, we're on a roster system and one of the brigade members would drive around the town, and if there was a pink slip-up, you stopped and had a look. If it was green, gave them a wave and carry on. So we did that for, must have been close to 2 months because we carried on after COVID. Yeah, so it was a lot of work, but I think it just brought the community together a bit more. People thought, well, people do care.
Did you speak to somebody who'd put a pink slip up?
Yes, but funnily enough, that was it wasn't really a pink slip. We got a call about a kitten stuck, so I had to go and get a kitten out. But the rest was all just helping the elderly, you know, get firewood in. Or it was mainly elderly people that just weren't too sure about what was going on, you know, and just wanted some reassurance.
I've heard you've had a few people move to town.
Yes, there's been a lot of people move to town, and everyone that moves to town loves it. I'd just like to see Nightcap sort of restored to the Nightcaps of 30 years ago. That's wishful thinking, but with the amount of people coming back and houses getting tidied up, I think there's a good chance that it might happen.
Tony Philpott from Nightcaps. You also heard from Linda Sutherland, Bev Evans, Heather Boniface, Bruce Carter Allen and Shirley Dobby.
And Carter mentioned miners' nicknames. Apparently it wasn't uncommon for people to only find out the real name of some men when they married or at their funerals.